Well, thanks for making the decision to come together and to worship God today. It's actually a really important decision. It's not a natural decision. There are plenty of other things you could have chosen to be doing today, and especially today, being Mother's Day, plenty of options available for you, but you chose to be here to worship God. And that really sets the tone for what we're continuing to think about as we go through the Gospel of Matthew. And if you have a Bible with you, or somebody close to you does, and would like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, we're up to a section where Jesus talks about fasting. And I don't know how much attention you give to this in your life, but we're going to think today about what is it that fasting actually is that Jesus is talking about here, and should we care about anything he has to say on the subject anyway? Because apart from, I don't know, if you're having surgery or something like that, fasting for many of us isn't something that we would just choose to do. I mean, why would you choose to go hungry? It's just weird unless you're forced to. But Jesus is speaking about it, and he's speaking about it for a very important reason. So let's tune in together to what he's saying as we read some words from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 16 to 18 as we go through the Sermon on the Mount together. Jesus continues to teach. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So how excited are you that Jesus in this passage is talking about fasting, and that we're going to spend some time today on Mother's Day of all days talking about fasting? And would you believe me that it's possible that you could very well go away from today being determined, you know, I'm going to make fasting a part of my life. Do you think there's much of a chance of that happening today? To be honest, if I was sitting where you're sitting, I'd say, bring it on. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I know how much I love food, and there's not much chance that you're going to convince me to give it up for any particular reason. And I've grown up in a tradition where fasting just wasn't part of what we did. But Jesus seems to be a part of a tradition where fasting is something people do. He says, when you fast. It's clearly something that was important in his day. Should it be important in ours? And what is it anyway? That's what we're going to spend some time coming to terms with today. And as Brendan mentioned earlier, there were some handouts that you or somebody in your family hopefully received as you came in. So if you're somebody who learns best by writing down and keeping notes, that hopefully will be helpful for you. The first thing we're going to think about is, what is fasting? When Jesus says, when you fast, what is he actually talking about? And it's actually a fairly simple concept. Put simply, fasting is denying ourselves in order to seek God. Now, when we first come across fasting in the Bible, it's in Leviticus chapter 16, and God institutes fasting for his people. And the phrase, the words that were used, literally mean to deny yourselves. God sets up a special occasion, it's called the Day of Atonement, and on that day they were to deny themselves, they were to fast. So I guess the question is, deny yourselves what? And most commonly, the answer would be to deny yourself food. Jesus did that in Matthew 4. Occasionally, it meant denying yourself both food and water for a short time. We read about that in Esther chapter 4 and in Acts chapter 9. We also read about the prophet Daniel, who denied himself choice foods. He continued to eat very bland, normal types of foods, but he denied himself his usual luxuries and delicacies. He had no wine. He used no lotions on his body even for a period of 3 weeks. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about married couples denying themselves the pleasure of sexual intimacy for a limited time. And Jesus denied himself the pleasure of human companionship on multiple occasions in order to set himself apart and seek his Father. So the point is not so much what we are denying ourselves from, it's what we are denying ourselves for that really matters. When the Bible talks about fasting, there are many different ways that people did fast, and food was the most common thing that people would choose to deny themselves from. But the point was, why am I doing this? What is it for? Not so much what is it that I am denying myself from that is in focus. And that makes sense to us. How many of you have ever done the 40-hour famine? Was that just a me thing growing up? Yeah, fair number of you had. Here at Kingsley, in recent years, we've done Safe Water September. In a similar way, we fasted from anything other than water to drink so that we could identify with people around the world who don't have the luxuries that we have and to raise money for them. How many of you have ever fasted in order to prepare your body for surgery? Many of us have had to do that as well, unfortunately. How many of you have gone on a diet to get your body in better shape, where you've looked at something and gone, oh, I just so much want that chocolate eclair. I want that whatever it is that you really love. But you know what? Getting in shape is actually more important. I'm going to deny myself for a better purpose. And how many of you have decided not to go out late with friends because you've got work the next day? Some more of you ought to make that choice, probably. No, not really. But we're used to the concept, aren't we, that since there is something important, either I'm wanting to get in shape or I've got surgery on or I want to raise some money or I want to identify with people in need, because of this important thing, even work the next day or going to church the next morning, because of that, I'm going to deny myself from something I would otherwise have quite enjoyed. That's what fasting is. It's really quite a simple concept. Denying ourselves for the sake of something important is just part of normal life. And the discipline of fasting is simply that we are denying ourselves from earthly things in order that we may concentrate on drawing close to God. And in Scripture we see in some of those places that I mentioned earlier, there was a particular purpose in each of those. In Leviticus 16, people were drawing close to God for the forgiveness of sins. In Esther 4, people were drawing close to God to ask for deliverance from their enemies who were planning to do a horrible thing to them. In Daniel 10, Daniel was drawing close to God as he grappled with what a vision that he had seen meant for him and his people. And he was seeking God's wisdom in that. In Matthew 4, Jesus was drawing close to God as he was preparing for public ministry. In Acts 9, Saul is drawing close to God, having just been confronted with the weight of his sin against God and wondering what was going to come next for him. In 1 Corinthians 7, Christian couples were drawing close to God in prayer. And there's plenty of more examples that we can find in Scripture, but that's just a bit of a taste, an overview. People denied themselves from earthly things, not because those earthly things were wrong in any sense, but they wanted to be able to focus on drawing close to God. So then the question becomes for us, if that's all that fasting is, denying yourself from some earthly pleasure in order to draw close to God, why should I care about that? Is it necessary? Is it important? Do we actually have to do that kind of thing? Well, I want to tune into a conversation that Jesus had with a group of people who are asking him a very similar kind of question. And it's found in Matthew chapter 9 from verses 14 to 17. Then just John's disciples of John the Baptist, came to Jesus and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" So for these guys, it's looking like Jesus and his followers don't care about this tradition of fasting, this discipline of denying yourself from earthly pleasures in order to draw close to God. And why didn't they care about it? Jesus answered, "Well, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So why should we care about fasting if indeed Jesus and his followers didn't seem to have the same discipline at it that many other religious types of people did in their day? Well, the first reason we should care is simply this. Jesus said that his disciples would fast once he had been taken from them. What was he talking about? Well, they were at a point in history where God seemed very far away. They'd been under foreign rule for decades. They'd been oppressed by various foreign powers for centuries. They hadn't had any direct revelation of God for 400 years. Many people were saying, "Man, we just can't wait for God to send a deliverer, a savior. We just want God to do something for us." And they're desperate to see God work in their country, which has got so many problems and issues. And they want to draw near to God and say, "God, will you help us?" But for the disciples of Jesus, it was a different kind of dynamic. God's already done something. God's come near in the person of Jesus. I don't need to find a way to draw near to God. God is actually right here in our group. It's Jesus, the Son of God, right here among us. There's a whole different thing going on. As Jesus said, why should they mourn? Why should they feel like God is absent and we need to try and find God and plead to him and get him to pay attention to us? No, God's right here in our midst. But it's not going to be like that forever. A time will come when Jesus will return to his Father. And then his disciples will once again, because they can't just put their arm around Jesus and he's right there alongside them, once again, they will want to find some ways to turn away from earthly things and to focus on the one who is not physically present. As soon as he said these words, Jesus spoke about the fact that the old traditions, the old ways of doing things, couldn't contain the new work that Jesus was doing right now in this moment and in what would happen shortly as he died and rose again and returned to heaven. There were some things about their religious traditions that would need to change in order to accommodate this new thing that God is doing. And in Judaism at the time, there was public fasting and private fasting, but they are actually quite different things. And so we want to just think for a little bit about what was Jesus doing as he spoke to these disciples of John the Baptist in talking to them about how they practice fasting, but it would actually be a little bit different. Yes, his followers, once he was in heaven, they would also want to turn away from earthly things in order to focus on drawing near to God. But there'd be something different. There'd be a difference in how they did that that would be important. So what was that difference going to be? I want to spend just a couple of minutes unpacking that a little bit. You see, in the religion of the time, there was the public fasting, and there were prescribed times during the year where the whole community would say, you know what we are celebrating together as a community, what we are praying for together as a community, whatever they were going through at a time, this is worth us all fasting. And so everyone was in the same boat, you knew what was going on. But there were other times when people would fast for their own reasons because they wanted to draw close to God. And there were two groups listed in Matthew 9 who did that, John's disciples and the Pharisees. And they had a particular tradition about how they did this personal fasting, which wasn't mandatory, it wasn't a rule, it wasn't something that everyone was supposed to do, but they kind of turned it into a bit of a rule for themselves and said, well, you know, if you're really serious about seeking God, not only will you do the stuff that we're all supposed to do, but you'll do what we do as well. And what they did was they would fast twice a week. They would fast on Monday and on Thursday. They would fast on Thursday because, according to tradition, that was when Moses went up Mount Sinai to meet with God. They would fast on Monday because 40 days later, on a Monday, he came down the mountain with, does anyone know what he brought with him? The Ten Commandments, written on tablets of stone. And so these events were really, really important in their history, and they commemorated both. Their representative, Moses, going up the mountain to meet with God and then coming back down the mountain, having fasted and spent that time alone with God, away from everything in this world, he came back down with God's laws and the instructions on how to live. And these are really important things for those people. And so they would fast in memory of those things and to be able to say the same. We want to be able to ascend. We want to be in right relationship with God and we want to live according to God's rules. So Mondays and Thursdays were linked with fasting, with seeking God and with living by his laws. But Jesus' followers didn't do that. Jesus' followers weren't consumed with remembering Moses and what Moses had done in order to help the people have a relationship with God. Jesus' followers actually were into a new thing, that God wasn't still up on the mountain. God had actually come down and was present with them. And that would forever change the way people experience fasting. Well, there's a book in the Bible called Hebrews, and it's written to Jewish Christians who are grappling with this whole change of, you know what, we used to do our religious life like this, and we used to think about God in these terms, but now Jesus has come and everything's changed, and how do we kind of adjust? How do we adapt? What changes for us now? It's a really fascinating book to understand what was going on in their lives as they were part of this transition, and there's some really helpful stuff for us. So in Hebrews 12, we read these words in verse 14 of Hebrews 12. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And they got that. They knew that Moses had to leave behind all the stuff of this world, that he went up the mountain to be with God, and it was a very important thing. In fact, anybody who touched that mountain was going to be subject to judgment. You couldn't just flippantly approach God. You had to be holy in order to approach God. They were familiar with that concept. But for us, I think that that concept of holiness, of being separate from the stuff of this world in order to be devoted to God, that can be a bit of a challenge for us. Why is it that some weeks I would rather be at a game of footy cheering on my team than to gather with God's people and cheer on our great God? Why is it that sometimes I spend more emotional energy worrying about what other people think of me than being concerned about what they think of God? Why is it that often when I'm under stress or I'm feeling sad or I'm just under pressure, why is it that I turn to telly or just distraction, escapism? Why do people look for booze or drugs or gambling or sex instead of drawing close to God in those circumstances? And why is it that telling ourselves to do better at these things doesn't always actually lead to us doing better? It's because what we really need is to see the Lord. Seeing the Lord, being able to draw near to him, is the secret to be able to live the life that God's called us to do. In fact, just as Jesus was leaving, what did he promise his followers? Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And if we really experience the nearness of Jesus through his Spirit, I would find a delight in him that makes everything else in this world look washed out in comparison. And sometimes I worry that in the church we work too hard in our particular culture to give people an experience of church that rivals the experience of the world. It feels like a stadium sport experience or a concert or a cinema. The way to help people really experience the goodness of God is not to provide some sort of experience which rivals anything this world has to offer. It's to instead offer something completely different, however it looks. And that is to help people to see Jesus. The word holiness means literally to be set apart. It means to separate from the usual stuff in order to fully belong to God. And fasting is one way that God's given us to do that, to experience it. Check out what is written a few verses later in Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 18. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. And for those of you who know the story of the Exodus, you might remember this around chapter 20, just how amazing this scene was of God being on the mountain and how awe-inspiring and terrifying it was. And there was a real sense of God's presence and how you need to be careful not to get on the wrong side of this awesome God. But even though it was the habit of people to fast and remember this occasion, Mondays and Thursdays, we're remembering this scene where God showed himself and he showed himself to be awesome and mighty and holy and somebody not to be treated flippantly, and we want to make sure that we're in right relationship with him because I'd rather be on his side than against him. That whole sense of fasting in remembrance of this mountain is actually passing away. Fasting by the religious elite was all about this stuff. It was all about recognizing God's power, his holiness, his righteousness, being careful not to break his laws, expressing sorrow for sin and a desire to be made right, expressing a commitment to live his way. But, funnily enough, as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 6, for many of these people, they'd lost sight of that sense of holiness and that sense of reverence, and they were actually doing it as a sense of, look at me, look how good I am. Watch me, I'm drawing close to the mountain. I'm a bit like Moses. I'm being all holy and righteousness and living by all of God's standards, even the rules God didn't make. We've added extra ones just so that we can prove that we are so good and so deserving of a relationship with God. And Jesus said these people weren't going to get a reward from God at all. In fact, what they really wanted, the reward from people, was all that they would get. What would be different about how followers of Jesus would fast? This is the contrast. But you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, if the scene at Mount Sinai was impressive, if what people remembered when they fasted on Mondays and Thursdays was impressive, the scene at Mount Sinai is even more impressive. The scene at Mount Zion. We don't come to a covenant written on tablets of stone. We come to a covenant written through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He has died to pay the penalty of our sin and to reconcile us to God. We're citizens of a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. We get to join the angels and all the saints whose names are written in heaven, all those who have been made perfect just like Jesus. We get to be a part of this community of worshippers, and it's not because of what we've done to deserve it. It's because of what Jesus has done to bring it to us. In Christianity, alone among all the religious systems in the world, we don't climb the mountain. We don't even idolize those who were able to. We remember the one who came down the mountain for us. We remember the God who is not distant, but the one who is drawn near in Jesus. See, it doesn't matter what you're into. Any world system, any religion is the same. Whatever you're aspiring to, whether that's enlightenment, whether that's to appease the judgment of God, whether that's to draw near to God, whether that's just to transcend this earthly plane, whatever it is that you're chasing, there's always a system, a way to get there, a way of climbing the mountain. And that's where Christianity is just so revolutionary. That's why, as Jesus said, it's like you need new wineskins to hold this new wine. You need a new system to hold this new thing that God is doing. We don't have to try and draw near to God in terms of earning God's favor, earning God's presence, impressing him enough that he will do for us what we ask. No, in Jesus, God's come down to us. He's the one who's drawn near to us. Fasting, like every other spiritual discipline, is not about impressing God, not about earning favors from God, not about making ourselves better people. Fasting is actually just about learning to enjoy what God's already done for us in Jesus. Over the last few weeks, if you've been here, we've used this picture as a way of reminding ourselves where it is that our lives change, how it is that we draw close to God. And we remember that the whole reason we can have a relationship with God is because Jesus has come to our world. He's the one who's revealed himself. He's the one who's shown us how much we need a relationship with God. He's the one who's convicted us of our sin and helped us to turn away from it in order to receive from him a new life that he offers. And he's the one who, once we start that new life, helps us little bit by little bit to experience it more and more in our daily lives. See, fasting is just a practical expression of our faith decision to love Jesus more than anything, and to trust Jesus more than anything. As we do that, that faith decision that we made becomes our lived reality. We really do start to love Jesus more than anything. We really do start to trust him more than anything. We've been given a new life in Christ, but how often does our life look just like everyone else's? Fasting doesn't make us right with God. God's already done that for us in Jesus. Fasting helps us to celebrate that we are right with God. It's a way of proclaiming that real life is found in God. It's not in technology. It's not in TV. It's not in sex. It's not in food. It's not in drink. It's not in partying. It's not in whatever else you might turn to, sport, hobbies, leisure, holidays. Real life, satisfying life, life that we go, man, this is living. As much as those things can be awesome, and I enjoy probably all of those things I mentioned. I'd have to go back through the list and see if there's any I don't. But most of those things that I talked about are great. But real life isn't found in them. And if you depend on any of those things to make your life worthwhile and to sustain you through hard times, you will be sadly disappointed. But real life is found in Jesus. It's just that sometimes we forget. Sometimes because we are growing up in cultures that don't have that value. Sometimes because we have sinful natures that keep turning to the wrong things. Sometimes because we have bodies that are just inclined to be weak and do the wrong things. Sometimes we just lose sight of where real life is found. And fasting is just a simple thing where you say, you know what? I'm going to practice not relying on food. I'm going to practice not relying on sex. I'm going to practice not relying on sport or work or whatever it might be to feel like life is worth living. I am going to remind myself regularly that my life is actually found in Jesus. You know, even turning up to church and being busy in church life can be a distraction from Jesus. Sometimes we have to give up all kinds of things in order to just come back to the simple reality, God's given me life in Jesus, and I just want to focus on him and enjoy what he's given me. So yesterday we had a men's breakfast. I think it was about 30-odd blokes. I didn't do a head count, but it seemed like about that many. And we got to hear Wayne Beard share his story of how he's found life in Jesus and how some of the stuff that he used to rely on is no longer part of his life because God's just said, you know what, that doesn't fit with following me. And so we got to listen to Wayne share his story. And later on in the day, we're having a bit of a family wrap-up, and I said to the kids, okay, what are your highlights for the day's been? And they rattled off their highlights. And one of my kids, who shall remain nameless, but is currently in junior church, said to me, well, what was your highlight? And I said, well, this morning at the men's breakfast, we had a great breakfast, and Mr. Beard talked for about half an hour about his life. And this child said, sounds boring. And for him, it probably would have been, let's be honest. But I was able to explain, you know what, it wasn't boring at all. Because any time you have people talking about how good Jesus is, there's something that just gets you going. You know, a couple of years ago, some of us got to go listen to a famous sportsman, the NWA and AFL captain, who'd recently retired, talk about his career and his life. It was really interesting. But do you know what? I would rather hear an ordinary person talk about how Jesus has changed their life than any superstar talk about anything that they've done. In all sincerity, because God is just so good. And it's hard to kind of sell that and explain it, but once you've experienced it, then you know Jesus is better than anything. What if time with God could be more fun than watching your favorite comedy on TV? And what if time with God could be more restful than a long holiday? And what if time with God could be more energizing than a great TED talk or a rock concert or a sporting spectacle? And what if time with God could be more healing than yoga or counseling or therapy or whatever? Do you think that it's actually possible? According to the Bible, it is. But sometimes in our human nature, we doubt that. And fasting is just a simple way of saying, you know what, I want to try this out. I want to turn my back on some earthly pleasures for a while and just see what it's like to seek God first. If you find in your life that you're not desperately looking forward to heaven, do you think it could be because you haven't discovered how good God is now? When heaven is described in Hebrews 12, it's this ultimate place. And, you know, you've come to this Mount Zion, a place where you, along with the angels and the saints, get to enjoy God and worship him forever. How often do I get asked things like, are we going to have pets in heaven? Are the streets really made of gold? Will we be able to surf? Will they play footy? And we worry, you know, is it really going to be good? Hey guys, trust me, because God is there, it'll be awesome. We don't know all the details, but it's God who makes it good. And the fact that we can enjoy anything in this life, like a nice game of sport or anything else, it's because God's the one who's given us the capacity to enjoy it. And the bits of those things that aren't so good, like being over-competitive and stuff like that, that's what our sin does to those things. In heaven, sin won't be there to mess anything up. It'll be so much better. It's going to be awesome. And fasting, again, is just a way to remind ourselves of that. So, whether you just want to draw closer to God just because, whether you have a big decision to make and you're thinking, you know what, I don't want to make this decision based on my own wisdom or my own earthly desires. I want to make sure I've really sought God in this. Maybe you've got a sin that you've been struggling with and you want to train yourself not to do what you feel like doing, but to do what you know pleases God. Maybe you just want to be prompted every time a hunger pang or some other urge hits to pray for something that God's really put on your heart. Whatever the reason might be for you, fasting could be a real help. It could be the thing that turns you away from earthly stuff in order to focus on God. Not because you have to, but because you get to. Jesus has made a real relationship with God possible. He's done all the work. Now we just have to remember to tune in and enjoy it. Let's pray.